Welcome to Dana's Internet Cafe. We've got a great, great show planned for you today. I'm Dana Vernon.
I'm Dick Vernon.
Well, Dana's Internet Cafe is about interesting people and places and subjects, and we're with a very interesting person today, and she's got a very interesting subject to tell us about. We're so excited. I saw this article in the Butler Eagle about Kim Vensel, who is raising monarch butterflies, and I said to Dick, I think that sounds like a show. We called Kim, and here we are. We're sitting with Kim, and she's got this fascinating thing she's doing, raising monarch butterflies. Her and her family, her children, help her out. Kim, how did you get started in this? And if you want to start off with that nice Bible verse, this will explain how you feel.
Okay, the Bible verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. That's the verse that comes to mind whenever I see this process. It's a miracle happening. The fact that you can take this caterpillar that doesn't know anything other than to eat and poop, and they, you know, form their chrysalis, and after 2 weeks or so, they come out as a completely different creature. That's what Christ does in us. He takes the yuckiness away, and he fills us with his spirit. And you know, the butterflies, now it's a whole new creature. Now mm-hmm. they can fly. They eat differently. They don't even look like they used to before. So it's fascinating to me. It's a miracle that happens every single time. And we're expecting, looks like, about 25 miracles to happen today, as we can see. I kind of hope that some of them come out while
we were talking.
Yeah, that would be neat. So,
well, what made you decide to do this?
Well, how I originally got started, my very first experience with monarch butterflies was a friend of mine back in 2007. I was at her house, and she had a fish tank on her front porch full of caterpillars, and I said, Kim, what is that? What is going on there? She said, oh, those are monarch caterpillars. There's milkweed fields over here. We go find the caterpillars. We bring them home. We raise them, and they become butterflies. I'm like, well, that's really cool. You know, she says, do you want some? I'm like, your kids would love it. I'm like, sure, let's try that. So she gave us 4 caterpillars. She put them in a mason jar, gave us a Ziploc baggie full of milkweed, because that's what they eat. And she said, all you have to do is clean their container out every day and give them fresh food and let them do their thing. So we did that, and we had 4 healthy butterflies that we released, and it was neat. It was kind of crazy at that time because my husband ended up in the hospital. So I don't know that we enjoyed it as much as we could have, but we enjoyed it, you know, at the time. And then we didn't really give it much thought after that. It just sort of, okay, that was a neat experience, you know. 3 years later, 2010, he's 12 now, however old he was then, my son Nicholas found 2 monarch caterpillars on milkweed that borders along our driveway over here. And he brought them in the house. He's like, Mom, look what I found. And it was like, oh my goodness, that's so cool. So we started looking into it a little bit more, and we realized that, you know what, we could do this. We could find our own. And we figured out what milkweed looked like. And at the time, my kids could spot milkweed a mile away. You know, they learned. They learned what it looked like. Yeah. And we would be driving down the road. They'd be like, Mom, there's milkweed right there. We need to stop, you know. And so that year, we found a lot. And we released 34 healthy butterflies that year. And we just thought that was the coolest thing. My kids loved it. I can remember standing at the bus stop because school had started. You know, it's September. Towards the end of the season, I can remember standing at the bus stop, and we had a butterfly that came out that day, and they would put it on their shirt or put it on their nose or put it on their head, and we would just play around with them. And then when they were ready to fly away, we let them fly away, and they did what they did. The next couple years after that weren't so great. We had some issues with parasites and whatever, so we probably, I didn't keep very good records, but we probably raised about a dozen in 2011 and 2012. 2013, we didn't raise any because it was just so cold and rainy and gross that summer. And we maybe saw 2 butterflies all year. So it was disappointing because we were looking forward to it, and then it didn't happen. But last year, 2014, made up for it. We released 172 healthy monarch butterflies.
172.
Yeah, and that just blew me away. I couldn't believe we raised that many. You know, because we thought 34 was great. I made a photo book out of it and everything. You know, but 172, that was so cool. So this year, I'm like, what should our goal be? And, well, why don't we try for 200? 200 would be neat, you know? But then, you know, June came along and it was cold and rainy again. A lot of rain down in Texas where they would migrate up through. They were having flooding and it was disheartening because I'm like, oh, it's going to be another 2013. We're not going to have any.
But they come from where?
They come from Mexico. They're migrating up from Mexico.
They fly clear up here?
Well, they leave Mexico and they come up to like Texas or, you know, Louisiana, Kansas, and they'll lay their eggs and die there. And then their babies will be the ones that come up.
Oh,
so
really?
With all that flooding that's going on in Texas, they can't do what they needed to do.
Yeah.
I was bummed. I was really disappointed because I thought, oh, are we going to get any this year? But by the middle of July, normally I start finding eggs and caterpillars like right around the 4th of July and nothing. I wasn't finding anything. I did have some friends who had shared with me because they know I love monarch butterflies. So they shared with me, hey, I saw a monarch butterfly today. And I hadn't seen one yet myself. So it was probably, I want to say about July 11th or 12th, something like that, that I found my first caterpillar out at my sister-in-law's house. And I was so excited. I found a caterpillar. They're here. You know, I still hadn't seen a butterfly, but I found some evidence of them being here. So actually the first butterfly that I saw was, I remember the date because it was on July 18th. I was at a lady's house doing a presentation for the Butler Garden Club. And we had lunch, and I went out to my car to get my materials, and as I was walking back in the house, a monarch butterfly flew right over my head, and I said, thank you, Jesus, I finally saw a butterfly. And how appropriate as I'm walking in to do a monarch presentation for the Butler Garden Club. So that was neat.
And that was meant to be.
It was meant to be. And then I started seeing them more after that, and we started finding more and more caterpillars and more eggs, and here we are now. We've released 525 healthy. And I always say healthy because I could release butterflies that aren't healthy. I mean, I showed you. I have a couple in there that aren't doing so great. So they're sort of pets right now, and I have to decide what to do with them.
Yeah.
But I don't release them if they're not healthy.
Sure.
Because I don't want them to go. If they're not healthy and they go out and they make the other ones sick, then what good is that?
Yeah, that's true.
So 525 so far, and well, you can see I have probably well over another 500 and some, maybe 600. I don't even know. I haven't counted because it's just overwhelming at this point. So we have a lot more to go.
Wow.
But it's fun.
It is.
It's a lot of work, but it's fun.
And you have three kids that help you.
We have three kids. Yeah. Well, all three of them like to go hunting, but Nicholas is my hunter.
He's your youngest?
He's the middle child.
Oh, he's
he's my 12-year-old. He loves to go hunting for caterpillars, and he's got a good eye. You know, he can find them easily. So
what amazed me is you showed us how they wrap their leaves around them like that.
Well, that's actually a different kind. That's the spice bush that
I'm
raising some other butterflies too. I have some black swallowtails and I have some spice bush swallowtails.
Oh.
So those are different. I found a caterpillar this morning that is a spice bush swallowtail. So, so those are different ones.
Okay.
Those are different. So
how old is your daughter and your youngest son?
Kira is 16. She'll be 17 in just another week or so.
Yeah,
I think it's a week from today, the 21st.
Yeah.
She's a good helper. She'll help me clean out containers and give them fresh food. And she helps me, move the chrysalis and hang them up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a good helper. And then my youngest is 9. His name's Alex. And he likes to hunt. He likes to hunt for caterpillars. And he's not as good at it as Nick, but I mean, he finds them too. And he gets all excited. Mom, I found one, So we carry our little buckets and walk around and bring caterpillars home. And then I have all the work to do. My kids they love the hunting part. And then I'm like, all right, come on, we have to do the rest of it. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm kind of on my own sometimes with, coming home and sorting them out and separating them. Cause you can't have, 50 caterpillars in one little container. You have to separate them out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Kim, what is the life cycle of a monarch butterfly?
The host plant, the main host plant, the only host plant for a monarch butterfly is milkweed. And people tend to cut it down because it has the word weed in it, because they consider it a weed. But that is the only thing that monarch caterpillars will eat, which is why I promote people to, if you don't have milkweed, plant some. If you do have milkweed, don't cut it down until, you know, butterfly season is over, end of September, you know, early October.
So in other words, if I would like to have monarchs come around to our mobile home, if I plant a milkweed plant, that will draw them.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. Nectar plants, actually, nectar flowers will draw them in. The milkweed will keep them there.
Oh, okay.
So, because they'll find a host plant. The mother monarch comes and she lays her eggs on milkweed, and the eggs take 3 to 5 days to hatch, depending on the temperature. And the little tiny caterpillars are like 2 millimeters long. They're so small when they first start out. And all they do, that they start eating, and they eat and poop and shed their skin 5 times. And that's all they do.
Because 5 times.
As they grow, like when we grow, our skin grows with us. Yeah. Some of us a little more than others. But caterpillars don't do that. As they grow, they start to get uncomfortable in their skin. And they'll stop eating for about a day. They'll just sort of go off the plant or off wherever, and they'll shed their skin. They'll form this little like silk pad that they sit on, and they literally walk out of their skin. Walk right out of it. Yeah, really? It's the coolest thing. Now the gross thing about it is most of the time they'll turn around and eat their skin.
Oh really?
Yeah, and it's protein for them. So
sure.
But they shed their skin 5 times, and it takes 10 to 14 days typically for a caterpillar to go once it's hatched. When it's done eating and it starts to feel like, okay, I've had enough to eat now. I'm just speculating because I don't know what they're actually feeling, but, if they're in the wild, they can go up to 30 feet from their host plant. They roam. I always joke when I see them roaming around that song, 500 miles, you know, that song, 500 miles, that goes in my head every time I see them walking around trying to find a place to pupate. Cause it's like, it just cracks me up that they do that. But in containers, obviously they still roam around. They still walk around looking for a place. And then they'll settle and they form a little silk anchor and they will attach their bottom to it. And eventually after a few hours, they will hang upside down in a J form. And they hang upside down in a J for, it depends, about a day, 12 to 24 hours, they'll hang upside down. And then they'll shed their skin one last time and become the pupa, the chrysalis, that most people recognize, that beautiful jade color chrysalis.
Yeah.
They'll stay in chrysalis for, again, depending on the temperature, 10 to 14 days is pretty typical around here. And then as you can see, all of these ones in our container, they get... You can see the butterfly inside. They turn black.
Yes, that was amazing. You showed it to me, and it was like it was in a little clear crystal,
right.
And you could see the butterfly markings
in
there.
Yeah, you can see the orange wings inside, and it's black. And then whenever they're ready, they'll break themselves out of their chrysalis, and we'll have a butterfly. Hmm. And it'll hang. Well, when they first come out, their bodies are really big, round, and their wings are teeny tiny. So I'm really hoping that they come out while you're here so you can see that. But what they'll do is then they'll pump the liquid out of their bodies into their wings.
It'll stretch
their wings out. And then their bodies will be a normal size and their wings will be a normal size. Oh. That takes about 15 minutes after they open, you know, emerge, eclose is the technical term, from their chrysalis. But then it still takes them another 3 to 4 hours before they're ready to fly because their wings are still wet at that point. They can't fly. But once they're ready to fly, then they're good to go. You set them free.
Isn't it amazing? You should see everything in this kitchen. She is a busy lady.
There's a lot of containers, you know. Walmart's made a lot of money off me this year. So.
Oh, it's just such a fascinating thing. Well, something I was wondering about, there's different butterflies. Mm-hmm. How can you tell the difference when you see a caterpillar that you know it's not a monarch or it's some other type of butterfly? And there's a lot of different butterflies, aren't there?
There are a lot. This paper that I have in front of you is just a small sampling of them. Well, the main thing is the host plant that you find them on. Like the caterpillar that I showed you when you first got here was a spice bush swallowtail. I found it on sassafras.
Oh.
They eat sassafras or they eat spice bush, and I have both of those on our property. The black swallowtails that you see around, they eat, they'll eat parsley or dill or fennel or rue. Those are all herbs. Or they'll eat Queen Anne's lace. Those pretty white flowers that are everywhere. They'll eat those too. We found quite a few on Queen Anne's lace this year. Okay. So
a lot of times when you have a plant that you have outside and you see something's eating it, it could just be the butterfly.
It could be the caterpillar.
The caterpillar. Yep. That's going to be a butterfly.
And it may not be. I mean, snails eat plants too. Yeah. You know. But so, but if you want to, I mean, if you're interested in raising any kind of butterflies, then plant their host plants. I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. Yeah. I actually bought some dill at, they had the garden show at Alameda Park back in May. And there was a greenhouse that was set up there. And I walked over and I said, I would like 4 dill plants, please. And he kind of looked at me funny, like, why would you want 4? You know? And so I explained that it's a host plant for black swallowtails and I would like to attract them to my garden. Okay, fine. So that was on a Saturday. I put them outside and I didn't have them planted in my garden yet. I just had them sitting out front. Well, I was working. I was in the house editing and it was a nice day. I thought, I'll take a break. I stepped outside for a couple minutes and I watched a black swallowtail butterfly come over, lay an egg on my dill like that, and then off she went. Wow. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. You know? So I ran over and looked and I found that one and 2 more. And then eventually I found a bunch more. I don't even remember what the number was that we ended up with. But I know we raised 6 black swallowtails in May to June. And then we've had more that we've found on the rue that I have here, or the dill, or the parsley. And then we found a bunch on Queen Anne's lace just out. As we're looking for monarchs, there's always Queen Anne's lace. Usually where there's milkweed, there's Queen Anne's lace, because it's just something that grows. It's considered a weed. And so we found, we've started finding black swallowtail caterpillars on Queen Anne's lace too. So several of them have already emerged, but a lot of them, I'm expecting the rest of them to stay with us over winter.
Really?
Yeah. They'll go into chrysalis. A lot of them will go into chrysalis form during the winter months. Monarchs migrate. They don't stay around. They come out and they're out of here. They're going to go to warmer weather, which I don't blame them. But other butterflies will go into a chrysalis form, and then that's how they'll stay over winter, and then they'll emerge in the spring and start the cycle all over again.
They stay in the cold weather?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Hmm.
So the monarchs then migrate.
Yes.
How do they do that?
God put it in them. I mean, I don't know. But there's a place in Mexico that they will fly to. There's some monarchs that are in Florida that will actually stay there. They don't migrate. But there's a place in Mexico and Southern California that the ones on the West Coast will go to Southern California, or even as far down as Mexico. But the ones that from here, or the ones from Canada, the ones from the Midwest, they will fly down to the forest in Mexico, where, I don't know if you've probably seen pictures of the trees. There's like pine trees that are covered in literally millions of monarch butterflies. But they will fly down there, and they can fly up to 500 miles a day before they have to stop and, you know, refuel. So people, or, you know, you recommend people to have nectar flowers growing on their property so that the butterflies can stop and refuel. Goldenrod is a good one. Again, it's considered a weed, but it's an excellent food source for butterflies. Asters are another one that sometimes are considered sort of a weed. But these weeds, so to speak, are important because the butterflies need them. But they'll go down there and they'll stay there they can live up to 9 months. This last generation that we're going to be releasing, they can live up to 9 months. And staying in Mexico, and early spring, like beginning mid-March, whenever it starts to warm up, they will start to migrate back up north. And they'll come to, like I said, Texas, Louisiana. They'll mate, lay their eggs, and die. And then their babies, when they turn into butterflies, will be the ones that come back. And it's said, and I don't know how anybody ever has proved this, but it is said that their babies will come back to where their parents came from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It is. And like I said, I don't know how anybody proves that, but, you know, so these ones, you know, their grandchildren will be the ones that come back to our area next year. And then that's the first generation, and then there's 2 more generations that will stay here, and then that 4th generation will be the ones that will fly back to Mexico next year, so. But the ones that don't migrate, they live, like a typical butterfly would only live 4 to 6 weeks. They only live that long. They flit around and they mate and they lay eggs, and A female monarch can lay up to, I've read that a female monarch can lay up to 700 eggs.
Oh, really?
They
wow.
They mate multiple times, and they will, yeah, wherever there's milkweed, they'll leave you presents.
So how can you tell the difference between a male and a female?
The male monarchs have two little dots on their hindwings. That's the distinct feature. And then their webbing is thinner. Females don't have the dots on their hind wings, and their webbing is thicker. The two little dots are supposed to be like pheromones, glands, some kind of glands that they send out their scent so that they can, you know, attract a female. So.
Oh, I know. We had seen something you did on Facebook, and you were releasing the butterflies, and your son said, "Oh, Mom, this is a female," mm-hmm. and I thought, how does he know that?
Yeah, monarchs, I can tell the difference in genders. Other species, like black swallowtails, I can tell the difference. Spice pusher, a little trickier, but I'm learning. And some of the other ones that I'm learning how to tell the difference between a male and a female. Some of them are harder. Some of them you have to know what the shape of the body is, and like, how do you get a good look at that sometimes? Yeah. So. I'm just happy to see butterflies, so and whether it's male or female, it doesn't even usually matter to me, as long as I see butterflies. So
now you said there's a difference between the monarch and the victory.
It's viceroy.
Viceroy.
Yeah, there's a viceroy.
There's no T in there.
Yeah, there's a viceroy butterfly that is considered the imposter for the monarch. Monarchs are poisonous because they eat milkweed. Milkweed has some kind of a toxin in it.
Oh.
Yeah, that... is makes them poisonous. They do still have predators. Things will still eat them. Ants will eat them, and wasps. There are things that will still eat them. Birds typically try to stay. They know that if they eat a monarch, butterfly or caterpillar, it's going to make them sick. So they typically stay away. But I'm sure there are still ones that still eat them. But the viceroy. I'm not positive what its host plant is off the top of my head, but they are not poisonous because. Whatever they eat is not toxic, but because they look like the monarch, they're similar, except for I showed you that they have a line on their hindwing that the monarchs don't, and they're a little bit smaller, but because they look like the monarch, birds will stay away from them because they're an imposter. They look like a monarch. So,
So birds are pretty smart.
I guess, yeah. one of the reasons why, people ask me, why do you... bring the caterpillars into the house and raise them? Why don't you just leave them outside? Well, we already talked about predators. There are things that will eat them. The butterflies, the monarchs have a much better chance being raised in captivity than they do in the wild. Mm. In the wild, they have less than 10% chance becoming a butterfly.
Oh.
And then even then, there are predators. In captivity, you have about a 90%. My rate right now is about 90%. I still have to deal with some parasites that get a hold of them when they're in caterpillar stage, but my rate right now is about 90%. So I'm doing pretty well.
I'd say that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And the other reason why I do this in the first place is because over the last 20 years, the monarch population, from what they've estimated, has declined by 90%.
Wow.
There used to be billions, I guess, that would migrate to Mexico. And they don't have those numbers anymore. And there's several different factors that they believe. One of them is that there's logging in the forests that they migrate to. They don't have a place to stay when they get there. And the other, what they suspect is that the pesticide use is, you know, between the weed killers and the pesticides killing the milkweed that they eat and killing the caterpillars themselves, killing the bugs. And then I just found this out on Saturday that I guess there's some new seed formulas that they're putting out that already have pesticides in them.
I just
heard about that, and I didn't even realize that that was the case. So when they're planting corn, normally, you know, the corn belt is a big place where that's a big migrating area where the monarchs would go, and there would be milkweed interspersed in between there, and it's not there anymore. So their food supply is dwindling. So that's why I recommend people plant milkweed. If you already have it, leave it there and don't use chemicals. Don't use those, you know, don't spray anything so that they don't, because you're going to kill them if you do. I mean, there are other ways to you know, it's more tedious to pull weeds. Trust me, I know. You should see my garden. but I want healthy. I want them to be healthy. I don't want them to die. So
there's a lot of people that raised monarchs, isn't there?
There are, yeah. There's more than you would think.
You were telling me.
Yeah, it's kind of picking up. It's sort of like a snowball. It's picking up momentum. I belong to a couple of groups on Facebook, and there's a lot of people that are raising a lot of butterflies, which is great. And I tell people, you know what? If you can raise one, you've done a tremendous thing. You don't have to do anything in the magnitude that other people do. You know, I mean, nobody has to raise 1,000 butterflies, and basically, it's basically a full-time job. You know, which is taking away from my other work, which is photography. You know,
that's right.
I am a professional photographer, Kimberly Vensel Photography, and I do have clients that are waiting for their pictures. Thankfully, they're very understanding, and they know. But I mean, I'm not working at all. You know, I'm just squeezing it in between, and. Trying to get that stuff done and out to my clients. So,
how long have you been doing photography? We've known you for almost 20 years, and I didn't really realize.
Well, I've been interested in it for years, but the last 3 years is when, like 3 years ago, is when somebody said, "Would you come take pictures for me, and I will pay you?" And I was like, "What? Really? Okay." And it's just it's grown from there, and I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I get to meet a lot of people, and
you're a people person.
I am. Yeah, I have a wedding at the end of the month that I'm looking forward to. It'll be fun.
That's fun.
And then it's the time of year for senior pictures. So got a lot of senior pictures, and then family photos for Christmas cards will be coming up too. So yeah. So.
I guess there are several seasons you can use.
Fall's a busy time. Winter slows down, although I did already have someone ask me if I would do a family photo shoot in between Christmas and New Year's for them, because their family's going to be in town. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Should be interesting. So.
That should be fun. So you do presentations on the butterflies and what you do.
Yeah.
How'd you get started doing that?
A friend of mine who is a first grade teacher at Conequenessing last year asked me if I would come talk to her first graders about butterflies.
And that should be fun.
After I was done freaking out, because I'm not a public speaker, I thought, you know what, they're 6-year-olds. How bad could it be? And it was a lot of fun. They were on the edge of their seats, and they were so excited to hear what I had to say. And it sort of went from there. I've talked to some Boy Scout groups. I told you the Butler Garden Club. Mm-hmm. Some schools, some of the schools have contacted me to come talk to their classrooms. And I do it all for free. And I always tell people I won't turn down a donation, because I do supply, materials for them. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a 4x6 picture of the life cycle of the monarch butterfly that I took, mm-hmm. So it costs printing and whatever. So I accept donations. And all of that, any money that I have made, comes right back in and pays for this.
Trust me, you've got a lot of supplies here.
Yeah.
And a couple ways to get a hold of me. I created a Facebook page just because I thought it would be fun. It's called Butler Butterfly Lady.
Oh, wow.
So you can find me on there. And I've been posting some pictures of different butterflies. Mm-hmm. And I created an email address. It's butlerbutterflylady@gmail.com.
Okay.
So those are two ways that people can get a hold of me for presentations if they want me to come talk to their whatever. I have a homeschooling group I'm going to talk to here in October.
That would be nice for homeschooling.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. So,
and it's fun. I enjoy it. And
it's fascinating. I've been totally fascinated by this whole operation.
Oh, and I talked to Fishbone Ministries. That was my last presentation. I was down on the island. Tom Bowser and Sandy Bowser have Fishbone Ministries for the city kids.
Uh-huh.
And, so that was fun. That was, we actually got to release some butterflies with that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so depending on the time of the year, if it's butterfly season when we do it, then I'll have butterflies to release. So
yeah.
The kids loved it.
I bet they did.
They did.
Okay, Kim, it has been so exciting seeing you today and talking about all this. I guess we have to wrap it up. So Dick, tell our listeners how they can listen to any of our archive shows on our website 24/7.
Sure can, Dana. Go to www.danasinternetcafe.com.
Don't forget, there are two N's in Dana.
And don't forget, there's only one N in Vensel.
Make somebody's day today. Give them a compliment. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Kim.
Bye
now.
Thank you.